Now, Governor Evers released a package of legislation on Tuesday related to the COVID-19 pandemic, including things like requiring insurance companies to cover coronavirus testing and treatments and extending a ban on evictions. Hours later, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss talked about things he's interested in working on, like doubling contact tracing here in the state. The last time the legislature passed a COVID-related bill was in April, and the governor and Republican leaders haven't spoken since May, after a leader of the state Senate backed away from the ideas proposed this week. Any legislative action on the pandemic looks less likely. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the inaction in the state capitol for much of the year? Do you want to see the legislature work on a COVID-related bill? Do you want to see the Democratic governor and Republican legislative leaders work on something? If so, what? What is one thing you want to see passed by both chambers of the legislature, signed by the government? What would you like to see in effect right now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Mordecai Lee is an emeritus professor at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker. Mordecai, good to have you back with us.
Thank you, Rob. Glad to be here.
Well, divided government is a fact of life in the state right now. Divisive government has been a fact for some time now. Are you surprised, though, that we haven't seen more cooperation given the severity of this COVID-19 pandemic?
Rob, in one respect, I'm not surprised based on where American politics and Wisconsin politics is going. But on the other hand, I am surprised that here, this is the worst public health threat in 100 years. And they can't get together. They can't work it out. They don't want to have a sort of a unified front. It's really distressing.
Now, we've seen former Governor Tommy Thompson, now interim head of the state university system, give a very strong, consistent message to smash COVID. And he's been smashing, you know, watermelons, birthday cakes, things like that. Looking back to an era like under Governor Thompson, with divided government, with Democrats in the legislature, I don't know, would we have done better? Would we have had more cooperation in those days?
You know, Tommy Thompson's conception of being a good governor is very different from what we're seeing from the state legislature right now. Tommy felt that about one-third of Wisconsinites were always voting Democratic, one-third were always voting Republican, and one-third were independent swing voters. And he based his governorship on appealing to those moderates. And so he had a very constructive agenda, and if he were dealing with Democratic legislators and they wanted to suggest negotiating or compromising, he was perfectly willing to compromise. In his world, half a loaf was better than none. And to the legislators who are Democrats, it was the same thing. Now we're living in an era where compromise is a dirty word, where the Republican Party has sort of become the party of Dr. No, and the motivation is partly based on the politics of the situation, that they want Governor Evers to be a failed governor, and partly based on the policy of it, and that's that they don't believe in government controls. And so everything is just falling by the wayside. I thought your introduction was just spot on.
Are we at a different time, though? It's not one-third, one-third, one-third. It's maybe 47% vote Democrat, 47% vote Republican, and that remaining 6% is all that's up for grabs now. Are Wisconsin voters different? Is that what's driving this now?
Yeah, you know, that's such a great comment. And there was a CBS Network News poll about a week and a half before the Wisconsin election. And, you know, they went through the usual and they got the usual numbers exactly as you stated them. And then the very last question, they said, generally speaking, how do you consider yourself? Do you consider yourself largely Democrat, largely Republican, or largely moderate? And believe it or not, it was one-third, one-third, one-third. Huh. In other words, nothing has changed below the surface, but everything has changed above the surface. And so we're in a situation where a compromise is viewed as a dirty word. Compromise is viewed as losing. Compromise is viewed as selling out. And it's just we're in a frozen situation. And I think when you use the numbers like 47-47.
I mean, I just kind of made that up.
But no,
it's pretty close.
That was generally what all the polls showed for the last 2 months before the election. Is that we've got a legislature that, because it's so maldistricted, that you've got members of the majority and minority parties who are from one district parties, and they really don't care about public opinion. They really don't care about moderates, because for them to get reelected, all they have to do is win their partisan primary. And so you've got a leadership and you've got a membership that really don't care about appealing to moderates. They only want to appeal to their base, and that's how they'll get reelected.
Talking to Mordecai Lee from UW-Milwaukee, looking at action and inaction on COVID-19 here in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. I want to give a listen to a couple statements this week. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, first of all, gave a press conference this week to talk about areas he's open to working on. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
Republicans want to make sure that we are very clear in our messaging. We want to find ways to work together with Governor Evers. We think that some of his ideas are certainly workable, some are not. But I think that's the point of negotiations, that we put out our best ideas, he puts out things that he supports, and we see where common ground can be found to hopefully get a bill proposed and passed as quickly as we can.
Are you optimistic, Mordecai, that that can happen, something that can get passed, agreed on, and done quickly?
Well, you'll notice that his attitude was that the governor needed to know what they wanted, and this is what they wanted. In other words, he was not saying, I'm willing to take half a loaf of what the governor wants, even if I don't like it, because I'll get half a loaf even if he doesn't like it. So it's a very different approach to negotiating. It sounded almost like a kind of a veto of, we're willing to talk about this. We're not willing to talk about anything else. We want to be ideological purists, and we believe in small government. And it seems to me that that's a really good political platform if you want to run for election, but it's not a good government platform. And I'm glad you mentioned Tommy Thompson, because Tommy had two phrases. He said that sometimes he was in campaign mode. In other words, once every 4 years he was running for re-election. But the rest of the time he was in governance mode. In other words, he was for good government. He was for getting things done. I really get the impression that there is no such thing as governance mode anymore, that we're just in permanent campaign mode, and that everything is positioning in politics.
Let's give a listen to Governor Evers now in a primetime address last week. He gave an advisory executive order, no requirements, though. He talked about the economic side of the pandemic amid concerns that, you know, any kind of shutdowns hurt the economy. Here's a listen to what he had to say.
Each day this virus goes unchecked is a setback for our economic recovery. Our bars, restaurants, small businesses, families, and farmers will continue to suffer if we don't take action right now. Our economy cannot bounce back until we contain this virus.
And we've heard messages of economy versus controlling the virus. Governor Evers saying we have to do one to do the other.
Well, that's exactly it. And it's a good reminder of what Joe Biden campaigned on and what President Trump campaigned on. For President Trump, keeping the economy open was the number one agenda. For Biden, it was getting control of the pandemic. Now, half of Wisconsinites agreed with one, half agreed with the other. But nonetheless, it really surprises me about the lack of pragmatism to find solutions. In other words, it's better to look good than it is to get things done. And maybe one way to focus on this is on the Tavern League. And I'm not putting them down. Some of my best friends own taverns and so on. But for the Tavern League, the only thing they care about is being able to stay open. They don't want to do masks. They don't want to do occupancy limits. They just want to protect their economic self-interest. So it seems to me that what Governor Evers faces is that he gets nicked, you know, from all directions by these sort of narrowly focused, don't upset my apple cart kind of attitude. And then when you've got an ideological control of the state Supreme Court, it really prevents the governor from doing what reading the plain law seems to say he should be able to do in a public health emergency.
Let's bring on a caller. Claire is with us in Appleton. Claire, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to bring up, Claire?
So I kind of just wanted to mention just how much I agree with the problem of Republicans not interacting with Governor Tony Evers' orders and leadership, and just how basically the inaction that is happening right now, it will lead to like in just a permanence in lives that are lost, and those lives are not going to be able to be contributing members of society. And with all of the fear and trauma that happens from like losing these people, we will just as a state suffer so greatly that it's just so sad. So I guess what I really think is that Republicans and Democrats need to work together so we can learn who, like, how to trust and follow just what Governor Tony Evers is asking of us. And to do so would be to help the economy, like, be able to recover eventually. So,
Claire, thanks a lot for the call. Life or death, Claire is saying, in that, do we see that sense of urgency, though, Mordecai?
Well, sometimes I would tell my students that the best way to deal with somebody who disagrees with you is to see the world through their eyes. And so while I'm sympathetic to Claire's perspective, it seems to me that what we have to put on the table is that the way the world looks to Republicans, the way it looks to the speaker and the members of his caucus, the majority leader and the members of his caucus, is that what they're doing is politically rational, that it makes sense based on how they view the world, both the politics of it and the ideology of it. And so I'm really not sure how to break the deadlock. It really does seem frozen.
Thanks a lot for that call, Claire. We're talking to Mordecai Lee, emeritus professor at UW-Milwaukee, former state lawmaker. We're looking at the political standoff in Wisconsin over COVID-19-related legislation. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see the governor and state lawmakers work together? What do you want them to accomplish? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our talk with Mordecai Lee, professor emeritus at UW-Milwaukee, former state representative and senator, looking at the politics of COVID-19 in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see from the governor? What do you want to see from Republican leaders in the state legislature? Back to your calls now. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was going to ask Dr. Lee, are we having a problem with the districting of of our representatives? I mean, is it so hyper-partisan that the people who get elected are only the very, very fringe of each party rather than people who have to answer to both sides and are more willing to compromise? So is it the redistricting that goes on every 10 years that's leading to this problem? Thanks,
Charlie. Charlie, thanks for the call. I've heard that argument, Mordecai. You were kind of alluding to that earlier. What do you think?
Well, let's take, for example, Speaker Voss. He's not only the Speaker of the Assembly, but he's an individual state representative. And Democrats threw, what was it, $250,000 against him in Milwaukee television advertising, and it barely dented, you know, his win. In other words, he's there not to respond to the moderates or the swing voters in the way that, say, Tommy Thompson did. He wins re-election by appealing to the base. In this case, I guess we would say the conservative ideological, or maybe we call it the Trump base. These are the people who are not interested in compromise and believe in ideological purity. So Speaker Voss is not only being a rational politician as the speaker of the entire assembly, but as an individual state representative.
Thanks for the call, Charlie. And the same thing, given the way district lines are drawn, might be said, I imagine, about people in safe districts on the Democratic side of the aisle.
Absolutely. Now, the statistic that people talk about is that you could have a majority of voters statewide casting, let's say, their votes for Democrats, but a majority of the assembly seats would still be won by Republicans. I think that's a pretty good rough indicator of malapportionment. Now, the other thing that's related to that, Rob, is the state Senate. It seems to me the state Senate is a slightly different animal than the state assembly. And you've noticed that the speaker is much more visible than the outgoing majority leader, soon to be Congressman Fitzgerald, or the incoming majority leader. And I think it's really important to focus on just plain raw numbers. In other words, if you're one of the majority of state representatives in the assembly and you don't agree with Speaker Voss and you fall off for a key vote, he's still got a majority. But So in other words, one individual assembly person is not all that powerful. But in the state Senate, where you've got 33 members and you've got a majority of Republicans, each individual state senator could threaten a majority. And that's why the majority leader has to be responsive not just to sort of the middle-of-the-road senators, but to the absolutists as well. So there's less flexibility for the state Senate majority leader to do compromise.
Thanks again for the call, Charlie. We'll go to Sarah now in Milwaukee. Sarah, hello.
Hi. First, let me say hi to Mordecai.
Hi, Sarah.
Some of my questions have been kind of answered here, but I just wanted to know maybe what the governor can do. You know, if the other actions have been the legislature has gone to court to say the governor doesn't have the power to say do a stay-at-home or other actions. And so it's the legislature claims the power. Now they haven't done anything for months and months. Is there any way that the executive branch, the governor, is there any possible ways they can kind of act on his own again, maybe fully expecting the legislature to take him to court, but in the meantime, we would have some action?
Sarah, thanks a lot for the call. And the governor this week, Mordecai, extended his mask mandate, which is being challenged in the court right now. So we'll see how that can go. What tools are in the governor's toolkit to do things on his own?
You know, I think the governor has a personality that's different from a lot of the politicians who dominate Wisconsin politics right now. And that's that he doesn't like to fight. He doesn't like to argue. He doesn't like to posture. He sort of would prefer to get things done. And so, for example, when the state Supreme Court ruled against him a couple of months ago, he knew that anything he would propose to the Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules would be struck down. And what was the point of going through the process? On the other hand, there are politicians in Wisconsin politics who just thrive on conflict and sort of are willing to go to the nth degree. Now, we're in this odd situation. I think Sarah summarized it well, that what we learned in high school civics is that how a bill becomes a law is that the proposal, the idea, has to be passed by the legislature, and then a governor gets to sign or veto it. And then, of course, a legislature can either sustain or override a veto. I think we've got everything right now in Wisconsin upside down, because it's almost like the governor is the guy who's proposing and trying to enact policy, and it's the legislature that's vetoing him. And so he's got the court vetoing him, and he's got the legislature vetoing him. My only suggestion based on Sarah's ideas is, does the governor have any emergency powers that he can use that are not related to public health? In other words, on the books, can you find other powers of the governor using his executive powers, not his statutory public health powers, to get something enacted? And maybe that's a way to break through how everything is stalemated right now.
Thanks for the call, Sarah. Talking to Mordecai Lee, political scientist from UW-Milwaukee, looking at state action and inaction on COVID-19. Let's go now to Dan with us in Janesville. Dan, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
What do you want to bring up, Dan?
What I want to bring up is we as individual Wisconsinites, we understand how the COVID spreads. We understand what we need to do to stop it. And I guess my question would be more to the audience than Mordecai would be, what can our elected officials do to enforce this to make it go away? They really can't do anything. It is on us as individual citizens to make it go away. You know, if we get government involved, the only way to really make it go away is they have to mandate stay at home for 2 to 3 weeks. And if you are caught outside of your home, you are arrested and put somewhere until you for 2 or 3 times.
Dan, I gotcha. Thanks for the call. Not too much time left. Mordecai, Dan saying maybe it's just consistent messaging and a bully pulpit. He doesn't see much of a role for actual government action, though.
Well, Dan is describing a scenario that's happening in Western Europe right now, in the European community. You know, they're really getting tough, and they're getting really, really serious, and then trying to snuff it out, for example, the way in the United Kingdom. But, you know, Dan is talking about how the political system is not being responsive. You know, one of the emergency valves of politics is recall. Recall can only be done when somebody has been in office for a year. They tried it against Governor Evers. It didn't work. Dan is suggesting that citizens who are unhappy with, let's say, their legislator, whether a Democrat or a Republican, if the person in the state Senate has served for already a year in their term, you could try recall if you disagree with them.
Do I remember you're not a huge fan of recalls, Mordecai?
Oh, Rob, I'm sorry you have such a good
memory. I've talked to you for too long, yeah.
No, but seriously, I'm against recall. But when things are as bad as they are today, as we've been talking about, do we have to go to these emergency measures?
Well, Mordecai, there's supposed to be a meeting, it sounds like, between some Republican and Democratic legislators and the governor, I think, tomorrow. Do you think, briefly, something's going to come out of that?
The key word is compromise. I'll give you half of what you want if you'll agree to half of what I want. Things can get done that way. That's how Tommy Thompson did it.
Mordecai, thanks a lot for joining us again.
You're welcome, Rob.
Mordecai Lee is an emeritus professor at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker. He joined us for a look at the politics of COVID-19 in Wisconsin. Governor Evers and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss both talked this week in public about areas they want to work on. Getting anything passed, though, into law will still take negotiations, and the state Senate would have to get on board, too.